What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Da una lontana galassia stanno per arrivare due intrepidi eroi.
Io sono Jonathan e lui è Mario. Mario e Mario, sempre vicino a voi.
E perché non vi chiamate entrambi Mario?
Due guerrieri senza macchie e senza paura.
Johnny, vai a prenderlo.
E se mi spara?
Difensori dei deboli e degli oppressi.
Guarda lui, è da ieri che sta qui, ancora non l'ha beccato.
Come ancora?
Con un destino da compiere.
Grazie per aver chiamato il servizio di robot assistenza.
Aggiustare l'universo.
Ripariamo robot, androidi, intelligenze artificiali e ogni genere di elettrodomestico.
Per favore, fermate quell'assassino!
Ma voi siete pazzi, siete dei cialtroni!
Supercuore, non ha nessuno alla barba!
Vi prego, dovete aiutarmi!
Cielo, ma quello è un disgregatore!
Prossimamente su questi schermi!
No, veramente non si vede nulla! Si sente!
Non si vede nulla?
No, niente. È un'audioserie!
Ah, allora, prossimamente sulle vostre casse!
Vabbè, però glielo dico subito, questo intervento è fuori garanzia, chiaro?
Italian Space Agency, and I will tell you about this Italian mission that in the next year will join a NASA mission to an asteroid. So it's called Licia Cube, and it means light Italian CubeSat for imaging of asteroid, and. I will just a few words about the context and the topics that I work on at ASIM. I work for robotic exploration missions, right? This is the area that we call space science, and it's made of astrophysics and exploration, basically. Now I will give you few details on, okay, this is a way to localize us, of course, as a planet in around the third planet, around one of the stars of the Milky Way, our galaxy. You're probably familiar with that. And we started, of course, to look at the stars and that astrophysical phenomenon from the Earth many times ago, a long time ago, sorry. But we understood that having the atmosphere between us and the object, it didn't work. It didn't work properly because this layer created a lot of problem. Except then into what we call the windows. These are called transparent windows where we can easily observe. In the radio wavelength and in the visible. And that's why we have good telescope from the Earth in these two bands. But if we want to observe astrophysical phenomenon in the other bands, we for sure need to put our telescopes on board of satellites and put them in orbit. That's why we have object like this. This is called Hubble Space Telescope. It's in orbit like 20, 30 years, I don't know, but and it's very special telescope with very good accuracy and it gives us images like this in different bands of the spectrum. That's very good. And when we want to visit a target, usually in our solar system, because it's where we can bring our instrument, we say that we are making exploration. And we usually do it through this kind of probes. They're similar to the satellites that are on orbit of our planet, but we send them to around Mercury, Venus, and all the other planets of the solar system. They usually bring on board scientific instrumentation that allow us to study surface or the atmosphere when present, and all the features of this new target. We usually also visit the moons. Many of these planets have several moons around, and especially Jupiter and Saturn. And we send probes also visiting this target because they are very interesting for us. Jupiter, major moons like Europa that has large oceans and ice-covered oceans, or Titan around Saturn. This is the fleet of the European Space Agency, and the Italian Space Agency is part of the continental group of agencies, of course, but we also have national initiatives. So we visited all the planets of the solar system and their moons, and I also had this flag to show that we have a very large contribution of Italian contribution with instruments and with important investigation. One of the most important missions of the last year, it's called Rosetta. You maybe have heard about it because it visited a comet for the first time. It was a European mission visiting a comet, and it was also very, brave, bringing a lander to put a lander on a comet surface. It was not that easy, especially because if you want to land on Mars, you can be attracted by Mars gravity, and you can fall on Mars surface while if you want to land on a small object like this one, you can expect for a very low gravity. So it's difficult. It's more like what we call a docking. Docking is a maneuver in space when you're very close to another object and you want to approach very slowly. In this case, it happens when the gravity of the two bodies is very similar. No one is attracting the other very strong. And in this case, Philae lander tried to land to approach the comet surface. It was not so easy, so it had some bumps. And then he rested in a position that was not the nominal one. In fact, you see the three legs of the lander have three harpoons on the tip, so it can be like constrained on the surface, but it didn't happen exactly like this. So after, in the end, the lander remained in a different position, not nominal one, unfortunately, because there is a driller on board that won't collect material of the comet, and it was not able to work properly. This is just a description of the number of instruments that are on board of one probe of this type. They acquire data from very wide type of information. When the target is very important for us and it's visitable also for the humans, we bring them, of course, the astronauts, because they are the best explorer ever. When the environment is not very harsh, in a very harsh environment, it's difficult to bring astronauts and protect them from radiations, from micro asteroids. But when possible, like on the moon, we bring them. Currently, the only set of astronauts working in space, they are on board of the International Space Station. You're probably aware about this this laboratory that is orbiting the Earth 16 times per day. It fly at around 400 kilometers, and it has been built by the main international agencies in the world, starting with Russians and US one. But there is a large Italian contribution, and from Europe in general. So we have usually six astronauts on board working in this environment, this microgravity. What is important for them is to make experiments on board in this special condition, in microgravity, so they can try to make mechanical or fluidical analysis. Just a few words about the future. We are planning to be back to the moon. You have probably heard that especially the President Trump in the US, he launched this new program, Artemis, and with that, they are planning to bring again one man and for the first time a woman on the moon for the next at least 15 years. And the idea is to make that exploration not only like one shot, like the Apollo program. The Apollo program was like very short in time, and they went and back. For the future, we want to be permanently on the moon surface, and it is a very challenging target. And this renewed interest in the moon started with the water that has been found in the moon's craters. Because these missions from US and India has detected ice on the floor of the craters, especially in the pole, in the south pole of the moon. This water came from the comets, and it's very important for future explorations, because all the location that we are visiting, we need to bring with us materials and stuff. In this case, having water in place, it's very important, because allow us to use it for humans, but also for other. It's a very important resource, because water can be divided into oxygen and hydrogen, for example, and used as propellant to leap from moon surface. So it's very important to have tons of water already there. This is a very rough synthesis of the Artemis program. And they're a bit late, because the first mission, Artemis 1, was already expected last year, but because of COVID and other usual delay sources, we should launch in November. I say we because we are part, the Italian Space Agency is somehow part of this large endeavor, because I will tell you later, but what's important is that the Artemis mission, the Artemis rocket that's called SLS, Space Launch System, will bring in orbit the Orion capsule. Astronauts now will stay there. You see, it's more similar to the Apollo program 1 and not like the space shuttle, for example. Space shuttle is like more like an airplane because of several reasons it must re-enter, can be reused. But this reusing opportunity is very difficult for the moon. So now NASA is back to the old concept for the lander. It's more similar to the Apollo 1. And then the next step will be the what we call Lunar Gateway. That is a space, like a space station, like the International ISS that is orbiting around the Earth, but it will orbit around the moon. And again, you can see it's made of many different contributions, including Canada and Japan and Europe, of course. Italy will contribute with at least two of the modules. You can see TASAI means Thales Alenia Space Italia. And this one will be in orbit very soon. And again, the next final step for Moon will be something like this, having base on the surface, and most probably it will be not exposed. If you will see some concept of the moon bases, they are not exposed, because you will probably aware that one of the most, yes, you know maybe something about it, that one of the most difficult issue to solve for space travels is to protect the astronaut from the cosmic rays, because they when we are on the Earth, we have the electromagnetic field that is a very good shielding from the cosmic rays and particles and so on. But while we are out, when we are far enough, we are very we can be very exposed to this harsh environment, and it's a large issue. And that's why if you see this kind of concept and they are made from someone that knows something about it, they will usually put a shielding protection. I was just telling you that for the Artemis 1 mission that will be launched this November, Italy has on board, there will be 13 CubeSats. CubeSats are small satellites that it's a new standard for space missions. That is now very attractive for the agencies because they are very small, but cheaper than the others, and they're light, very small, you can bring with you. So NASA will launch with the first mission, of course, the Orion capsule, and we'll bring also 13 CubeSats. 10 of them are Americans, 2 are Japanese, and the 13th one is the Italian Argo Moon. That just yesterday has been installed in the launcher. I had a long teleconf in the evening and night because they were working, of course, with their local time. And finally, Argo Moon now is installed in the rocket, so it will be launched in November, and you will probably see in the news this the result of this mission. The objective is to collect pictures of the launcher and of several other. Okay, I don't know why this is slide. Just to okay, I usually spend few words about what I did in the last 15 years at the Italian Space Agency. Also working in our space center in Kenya, we have the Broglio Space Center where are these large antennas controlling satellites. I also had the opportunity to see Perseverance and Ingenuity and Ingenuity helicopter in November 2019. Okay, now we can move to the topic of today's discussion, and I if you have some questions, please, we are very few, so if you want to discuss about something, feel free. I hope that can be like more than a discussion. So, asteroids, the topic for LICHA Cube mission, the A in the LICHA where it's asteroids, because we are going to join another mission to an asteroid. And why we are concerned about asteroids, it's because we think that they can affect the Earth. And I like the sentence that it's related to the importance of the of a space program to monitor asteroids, but also to intervene in case of issue. There are many initiatives all around the world for the monitoring of asteroids, and you see on the web very periodically. You see that there are news about Apophis, about we are very in danger for some asteroid. But I have to tell that now there is no real issue coming from an asteroid, especially because we have this what we call planetary defense program. This is the US, the NASA planetary defense chart describing what they are doing and what all the agencies are doing. The idea that we want to using Earth-based telescopes, but not only, we are able to identify, detect, and then to characterize, meaning that we will identify the size, the trajectory with a very high accuracy. It's really common to have asteroids, what we call NEA, near Earth asteroid, and they are not so near. When you see on the news, they say that very close to the Earth, like it means like 10 millions of kilometers. It's not very close, but we are a bit scared because we don't know the real trajectory, and it can change. They usually collide and then change trajectory, so it can be difficult to predict. So there is a plan to coordinate all the international effort, and finally, to mitigate the risk. Mitigate the risk means that we want to do something, not just observe and be scared on the Earth, but try to do something. And this something is, for example, the DART mission. DART is a satellite of the NASA, of the American Space Agency, that next year in October will impact on an asteroid. They will impact on the surface of the asteroid, and they will try to change the trajectory. That asteroid is not dangerous for the Earth, and we hope that with the impact it will not become dangerous. But currently it's not an issue, but it's a good target to test this capability to deflect the trajectory with an impact that we can control, that we can try to make in the proper way. It will impact, this is the target, it's called Didymos, and the real target is the secondary asteroid, the small one. There are two, there is a kind of moon, small moon orbiting around, and it will impact on the secondary for several reasons. And one is that it will be easier to recognize, to understand if we really modified the trajectory. This is DART, and after 4 years, the European Space Agency will launch ERA in order to visit the asteroid and to investigate the crater in details. ERA will be launched in 2025 and will have a deep investigation. But we proposed to put a CubeSat on board of DART, an Italian CubeSat in this case, that will observe in real time the impact. That will be, I will tell you, it will be not easy. It's really challenging. We will try to do it. We'll try to be the witness. Just a few words about the CubeSat. I mentioned that this new standard is going to be used, and it's already used, but in the future will be even more, because they are very easily to accompany the main probes. In this case, this is the LARES satellite. I was responsible of this like 10 years ago around. And you can see these small boxes, they contain this CubeSat. They can be released and operate close to the main probe. We are working on different CubeSat at ASI. This one was done together with the Kenyan universities and has been launched by ISS. Here we were bringing the CubeSat to Japan because it has been launched with a Japanese astronaut to the ISS. We are also working on a CubeSat constellation in order to detect gamma-ray burst. And again, Argo Moon is the one part of the moon mission, Artemis 1. Just a few words on how the Lisha Cube mission has been conceived. When we were in Washington for an agreement with the NASA, it happened by chance that I had a talk about a small satellite, and this guy, Andy Rifkin, spoke about DART because he was there, because he is based in Baltimore and it was the closest science center to the place of the meeting. And it was nice that we had the idea to make a similar Argo Moon that can join this NASA mission. And it was like very strange but interesting way to have the idea of a new mission. So this is the idea. We will be on board of DART, will be released. This kind of chart we call CONOPS, Concept of Operation. It's a really short description of the mission, what will happen in October. We'll be launched in November this year and fly for 11 months to the asteroid. And after these 11 months at around 10 millions of kilometers, we will be released 10 days before the impact. And then we'll make some maneuvers and collect the picture of the impact and send back to the Earth. Okay, this is the chart. It's not maybe not so interesting for you, but it's a way to describe all the Italian involved partners and NASA and American partners on the other side of the ocean. I can tell you that it's very good that we are cooperating in such a challenging mission, because also for our team, it's a good training. It's a good way to test our skills in this. These are the scientific objectives. We can only see the crater and all the materials. We call the plume the material that will be released after the impact. There will be like a large eruption of material like this. But we don't know the composition of the asteroid. There's a prediction on the density, but it's not very accurate. So we don't know if it will be like a small plume or it will be like large and not dense. But with our images, we will be able to identify boulders on the surface and reconstruct the shape of the asteroid. Shape is very important for the scientists for many reasons. Okay, this is very boring. I'm gonna tell you the cameras on board have been named with it's full of this kind of stuff in our activities, like Luke, Leila, Leia. Okay, we usually make contests in order to define this, and it's more difficult to find a good name than to make the project to design these cameras. But in the end, they will give images like this one. They will be not very with a very in big details, because we cannot fly very close to the asteroid for this imaging, because we are scared of small to be impacted by part of the plume. So we identified 50 kilometers like the good trade-off compromise between to be safe and to collect good pictures. So at 50 kilometers, we can expect some picture like this, and our scientists are working on identifying the how to use the images in the future. And the Americans, they are waiting for our pictures because we are the witness of the impact. We can testify, we can confirm. And we also spend a lot of time to agree on them on how to transmit to the media the pictures. Because if we will just put on the internet, it would be crazy, they will kill us. So we have an agreement that is thick like this, saying that who can talk to this one and say to the press and how to describe. Because the NASA guy, last time he told that after 1 or 2 hours, they want to be on the on all the media first pages, because it will be the first impact in space and so on. So we have to be care with it. Another important aspect is that you can see if we assign a different density, the plume can evolve like this, and it's not so easy to know where it is. It depends on the time. Okay, you of course are not interested in this kind of stuff, but what's important is that we will be very fast when the mission is approaching, for example, Mars. You can see that the probe, like Perseverance, when it landed, I don't remember, like 1 year ago, maybe? Again? Roughly, yes. When the probe is approaching a target, it changes velocity, okay? It must be almost at the same velocity in order to make a maneuver and be in orbit. So it's long time that it's making like this thrusting poles or long activation of the thrusters in order to have the same velocity and then be in orbit, okay? In this case, DART want to be very fast to the asteroid, so there will be no maneuver, or maybe they will try to increase the velocity to transmit the energy. And we will be released at the same velocity. So we'll have not the possibility to break, let's say. And we will be very fast. We will pass close to the target very fast, and that's a huge problem. 6 kilometers per second, it's very difficult to collect pictures. And our satellite must be very agile to change the attitude. Like when you are traveling on a highway and you're very fast, you want to observe something on the side of the road, you have to turn very fast in order to follow to maintain the target in your field of view. And that's why Ligia Qubit's really fast in maneuvering when it's passing close to the asteroid. And that's why we hope to collect that pictures. And this is basically what we happen, not exactly like this. We will fly on DART. 10 days before we'll be released, open the solar panel, making some maneuvers. DART will target the asteroid and the impact on the surface, like this, more or less. And we will try to avoid the particles and collect pictures and hope to survive, because it's okay, we should. 15 kilometers is safe enough, is distant enough. We should not be impacted. The scientists, of course, they want to be closer and to have a good observation, but closer, it's too risky. Okay, this is what we call the timeline. We will observe the object. The ejecta is the plume itself. And we will be the only one observing the backside of the asteroid, because DART can only observe the front one, and then they will impact. But we will be the one giving the backside pictures, and it will allow the scientists to reconstruct the shape, what we call the shape model. Are you familiar with this kind of stuff, some of you? of the topic of mission? Have you heard something? Is there a scientist? You? All right, right, right. Okay. Sometimes I see that you seem to be very familiar, and that's good. This is the description of the satellite Leleiuk and the features on board. This is what we call the stowed configuration with the solar panel close. And then we have the deployed one. It usually happens for all the probes. They are too large to be inside of something to be launched. And these are a few images of how the subsystems are. Please don't take pictures because I will be fired otherwise. Okay, they can be shared, but you know the Italian companies, they are very care in showing what they are doing. And these are other subsystems. This is the assembly that we recently, I was on Wednesday in Turin for the final, what we call acceptance review. After all this testing in the springtime, it made a lot of testing. Satellites are very tested because they wanna, satellites are good, but they cannot be repaired in orbit, of course, so they must be reliable. There must be a very high level of reliability. So we test very, very, for a very long time in different conditions, and we try to figure out what is very, what can affect them, and we make testing and testing. So if they survive, they're okay for flight. And this is the final flight configuration. This is called, we call MLI. It's kind of, it's a layer that thermally protect the satellite usually during the flight, and we will be exposed out. So again, testing and testing, aliveness check. This is the final and most important one. If it's okay, its aliveness is done. It's ready to be so it will be shipped to the US, to Baltimore next week. Then we'll be checked at the arrival. Then we'll be installed on the DART probe. And DART probe is currently in Baltimore and will be transferred to Vandenberg in California. Because Elon Musk himself will launch by a Falcon X, and that will be great. It will be the first satellite, Italian satellite, in orbit. We currently are able to put satellites around the Earth. We have many of them, but so far. Never. It's the first that will go like 10 kilometers far from the Earth, and we are very proud of it. A bit scared, but very proud. This is what we call the ground segment, how the data from LICHA will reach NASA, JPL, because they have the big antennas. In order to communicate with satellites so far, you need very large antennas, from 35 meters diameter to 70 meters of diameter. They're very large. And the US, the Americans, they have, and they must be in different part of the Earth, because when Earth is rotating, you need to have one of them always, we call in view. So there's one in the American sector, in Europe, they have in Spain, and then in Australia. So when Earth is rotating, there is always one antenna capable to communicate. This is the good Earth. I'm using, it's not a proper shape, but it can be used. So they have the antennas. With antennas, they transmit the data to Turin. This is in Rome, this is in Turin, and this is Italian side. And then we will send back the data to them. We will share, of course. This is what will be implemented, what we called like architecture. And this is the DART team. Now the Italian scientists are part of the scientific team. And this is one of the benefits to be embarked on board. This seems to be an American guy, but he's not. He's John is from Sicily, and but his parents they are very fond of the Kennedy family, so they called him John Robert, like John Robert. And so the first time I met him, I told, "Oh, very nice in English." I said, "I'm from the Sicilian, so Sicilian." That's fine. Anyway, this is the first batch, but we have a lot of scientists Italian there participating in the planetary defense conferences and trying to work together for the for this endeavor. We had a lot good publication on a very important journal that is, and they made a and I was in touch with this guy Alessandro Sisti, and I told him the main features of the mission, so he prepared the story with you know, the Disney characters, and that's fine. We hope that yes, very important when the impact factor is very high for Topolino. Okay, this is the Christmas card that we sent to the US, and I use this just to describe that the team is very young. The team participating, Italian team, is very young. The like 30, 32 average years, and it means that in the future they will be very you know, a new generation of scientists and engineers participating and working with the NASA at the same level. It's impressive to see them, that when we I'm the project manager, so I'm kind of coordinator overall from the agreement with the NASA. I'm an engineer, but now that I work like project manager, it means that I'm the overall responsible from the agreement with NASA to everything and everything. Each of them, they're like specialized. We call that they're responsible one of the areas, like scientists, different areas, and engineering for everything. This part is the one that those guys, they're working on the trajectory. They need very long calculation to pass exactly at 50 kilometers. It's not totally not easy, especially because the asteroid is not, if you want to join Mars, if you want to, okay, the target there are visible, almost visible in a different way. The asteroid is very small. This one is like 160 meters. It's not that large. It's a very small rock orbiting. And we are very fast, like 6 kilometers per second. And if we miss if we are late of 1-2 seconds, we are in a different place completely. It will be difficult to be. But it's a challenging mission, and they are very good in predicting trajectory. So yes, this is the typical reference. It's Armageddon. We are trying to do something like this, and it seems like very early, so we can. This is what the time that's missing. So these are the main dates for our mission. It will be shipped next week. Alicia Cube, and it will be installed on DART, and we will launch it this November from Vandenberg. I hope to be there, but it's should be there. It's not so easy. You have to be in like 10 days in quarantine, and currently in the US there is this kind of restriction. It's not so easy, but next fall we will have the impact and the mission itself. Do you wanna? Do you have questions? Do you wanna talk about?
Was it considered to put maybe 2 or 3 initial steps for redundancy in case of the detector?
It would be good. It would be like a good approach. A bit expensive. Sometimes we do. We have several multiple satellites. But I think that the reliability of the satellite, it's good enough in this case. When the risk, it's when the target is not well known and risk is higher, we duplicate. We try to duplicate. We usually duplicate on board. Several of the subsystems on board are duplicated because if one fails, you have the other already in place. And yes, they usually, but it's a bit expensive approach. So we have to balance with, and also the mass. In this case, mass is not an issue. Satellite is like this. You can take it, you can see it's like this. And okay, this is a mock-up because it costs several millions, few millions, and then I cannot use like. Yeah, we had the inspection on Wednesday, the final inspection of the satellite in Turin. And then we, of course, like be in a controlled room with a very low level of contamination. We wear this like, I had no picture because it was not allowed. We have only specific vision. They also covered on my mobile all the cameras with adhesive dots. Everything is forbidden. And you know, and I'm the customer, I'm the client. For the others, I should kill you, all of you, if I show you this. But this is for viewing. But also for the for the controlling of contamination, the we wear this suit, yes, and the cover for the shoes. Space missions and space activities are a bit expensive, and we have to be sure that everything is it's properly taken into account. But I have to pass you the message that they are an investment. Okay, we say that money for space activities are not used, are not spent. They are invested because there are many, many. Now it's very well known and confirmed that all the money that in the U.S. they consider that for all the every dollar that they invest in space is back in 7 or 8 times that of return in different areas, like from technology development to scientific advancement, and that's the same in this case, that when not for the mission itself. The mission itself is done, it's scientific. It's to investigate on the asteroid and maybe to save the Earth one day. That is a good investment too. That's a good investment like we can consider. But in order to develop, to work on this, to put inside this small box, very miniaturized electronics, that one will be in our mobile phone in 2-3 years, you know? In a very good price that is affordable, so it's an investment. It's a kind of way to move technology ahead, and then you can have it like a usable technology for everyday life. I'm sorry for this table. So that's basically the mission, and you should be. Maybe you will heard about it on the media because we expect that it captured the interest of the media. And yesterday we had this meeting with the media management for the how to communicate, because when we speak about asteroid, everyone is scared. He says, "Oh my God, there's an asteroid that is dangerous." No, it's not the case. This one. And usually, it's not the case in general. But we don't know, because we can detect asteroids that are very partially close to the Earth, and when the trajectory is predictable. Chelyabinsk was not seen there before Right. Chelyabinsk is one example. It depends on the size, depends on the trajectory, and they usually change trajectory. There, you know that the last majority of the asteroids in the solar system are in this part that is called, it is a belt between Mars and Jupiter. It's called the main asteroid belt, and they are like a planet that was not formed because of the presence of Jupiter, of the gravity of Jupiter. There was Jupiter very close and the Sun on the other side. So these rocks were not able to aggregate and to create a planet. So that is a mass. There are rocks that is a failed planet that was not able to be. So they're orbiting quite at the same velocity, but they usually collide. If one collision put one of them in a different trajectory and is captured by the Sun gravity, it can come very close to the Earth. Exactly.
It was much more credible than...
Credible, yes, right, yeah. Right. In fact, the main issue could be in having a not controlled... I told you at the beginning about the planetary defense, that is the main area. Then we want to detect the asteroid, the dangerous asteroid, and we want to intervene somehow. Making this what we call the mitigation of the risk. Mitigation of the risk means that we won't try to deviate the asteroid in this case, or to destroy. But destroying, you will create small pieces with uncontrollable trajectories, and it can be even worse than the original risk and the original danger. So that's why. It's an interesting field of research, this area. And to know the real challenge is to know the composition of the asteroid. And recently, the Japanese mission that is called Hayabusa 2, they collected a sample from an asteroid. Even the U.S. Yes, they collected an asteroid. They were make this. Maneuver they call touch and go, touch the surface and collect some sample, and then be back to the Australian desert with the samples. And they discovered that the asteroids are not so aggregate. They are composed of that kind of asteroid. It's composed of rocks that are close, but is not a very dense materials, very high porosity, and it's fluffy. So in case of dart, if your dart will impact on such an asteroid, it will inside the sponge, we don't know what will happen. It can be destroyed in many pieces, and but it's far enough, it's safe enough from us. So we'll not expect to have issue from it. And that's why when we are trying to think about the missions, there is another family of mission that includes the idea to put, we are trying to transfer energy to the system. These satellites are, these asteroids are in that trajectory because they have specific energy, which we call, it's a kinetic energy, and we have to intervene on this. This is the real challenge. There are many observatories on the Earth that are monitoring, and there are also radars. We are able. Have you seen the Gravity movie? Okay, Gravity. It's unfortunately yes. It's full of very American. But they recently the new season of movies from NASA they are making use of America of Hollywood, they are making large use of consultants from the scientists and engineering point of view. You are probably aware that what is the most accurate probably For all mankind. Really? So it yes.
What if?
Okay.
What if the Russian, the Leonov was the first?
And what is the
For all mankind.
Oh, I've never heard about it. Okay, for the blockbusters, Interstellar is it's really accurate. Even if it's very crazy, like projected in the future, but it's the Nobel Prize, Kip Thorne, that supported the storytelling. So I think it can be considered one of the most accurate. It's very difficult because in science fiction, I've tried during this year. I worked with a school in Sicily, and they make this diary for the students. They distribute the agenda for the student for the next year. They made like homemade, and the topic was between science and science fiction. So we tried to imagine in a story, what can be like a target that is reachable, and what is really science fiction that never will happen. There is a very thin border between the two, so it's not too easy. But anyway, I think it's lunchtime. Thank you for your attention. If you want to talk about something, I'm here, or we can have discussion. Thank you. I don't know if I have to switch.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache della galassia, da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafidi, con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.it, su Facebook alla pagina Fantascientificast, su Twitter sul profilo @fantascicast, sul nostro canale Telegram t.me/fantascientificast, sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificast.it. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito, su Apple iTunes, su Spotify e su Podbean all'indirizzo podcast.fantascientificas.it. Se volete, potete lasciarci una valutazione a 5 stelle su Apple iTunes ed offrirci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, sostenendoci tramite una donazione PayPal utilizzando l'apposito pulsante sul nostro sito. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. Autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Alexa 4 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento alla prossima puntata lungo la rotta di Kessel.
Settimo simbolo inserito nel computer. Blocco 1 pronto. Blocco 1 posizionato.
Potenza erogata 23%. Così.
Blocco 2 è pronto.
Attivato.
Blocco 2 posizionato.
Siamo al 35%.
Arme rosse, evacuare l'area intorno allo Stargate.
Chiudete l'area, torniamo da voi, chiudo le porta.
Andiamo, sbrigatevi.
C'era quello sotto la grande pietra?
Sì.
Mio padre lo trovò nel 1928. È fatto di un minerale che non si trova sulla Terra.
Blocco 5 posizionato.
75%.
Blocco 6 pronto. Blocco 6 posizionato.
Non eravamo mai riusciti ad andare oltre nella sequenza.
Blocco 7 pronto.
Pronto, attivato.
Blocco 7 posizionato.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.